in the last 5 to 10 years, and the Pakistan People's Party has had a major contribution in developing this political sense in the people of Pakistan. These 9 parties, when they got together, at first it was considered to be such a novel thing, such an unexpected thing, that obscurantists and anarchists, secessionists, non-secessionists, theocrats, non-theocrats, secularists, all of them should get together and all. So people hadn't seen this kind of a thing before, and to see them all on one stage, having elections after 5 years or so, well, people went to their rallies, people heard them. But what did they have to say? You see, they gave nothing to the people in terms of a program, and they simply alienated the people. As I can give you one example. I don't want to stress on their errors and mistakes. Why should I educate them? But among other things, for instance, they said that, oh, we will shave the head of women off if they are emancipated, or if women are given some facilities which nowadays women must have everywhere in the world. Well, you know, the bulk of the woman vote, apart from our services, that I genuinely believe in the emancipation of women. I don't think it is right to treat women like chattel. I don't think it is right to hold women down like that. And our women have been terribly exploited. And I have had the courage, for the first time in Pakistan, in our society, to openly say. I'm not going to tolerate this kind of exploitation, and that our women, they can lead a respectable, decent life, an honorable life, but it does not mean that if they are emancipated, it is dishonorable, or that if they have a share in society, or if they have their property rights, or if they have their other rights, that this is something which is alien to our religion or to our society. And I have tried to encourage the process of emancipation. Well, these people, they want to put the clock back. They want to go back to medieval times. And nowhere in the world, in no society, including the most orthodox Islamic society, that kind of trend can be really accepted by a progressive leadership. And when they said that, well, if women get their rights, we are going to shave their heads off and things like that. Well, obviously that alienated the women votes. They did the service to themselves by talking like that. And when they now say that most of the rigging was done at the women's vote, I would like to say, how is it possible that women who have not been emancipated, women who have actually gone to the polling station for the first time, if not for the first time, some of them for the first time, most of them for the first time, at the most for the second time in their whole lives, that they know all the tricks and the gimmicks of the trade, and that they can rig an election in a major province like the Punjab, where the difference of votes is massive. It's about 20,000, 25,000, 30,000. How is it possible to rig elections of that nature in a whole province where general elections are being held? It is simply not possible. And if such a thing had happened, there was so much tension in the air, and the appeals that the opposition gave to their electorate, that surround the polling stations, don't leave the polling stations, Don't allow anything to happen without our knowledge. Stay there till midnight, stay there till the next day. Why weren't there riots? There should have been riots in the country. Why they went about, all of them, quite happily visiting polling stations and made no complaints or only minor complaints, which are made everywhere, even in advanced societies. Why is it that I told the foreign correspondents can go anywhere they like? These were my orders. I said, please let the foreign correspondents go anywhere they like. Lahore, Lailpur, or any such place. And thirdly, the point is this, that we had, no, secondly, apart from the fact that there would have been riots and bloodshed, there were no protests made at all from 8 o'clock to 4 o'clock, maybe some stray cases from both sides. That kind of thing happens. In addition to the women's vote, which they alienated, we had the full organized labor vote. Nobody can deny that. Almost in bulk, we had the labor vote. We have done a great deal of service for the labor. What have they done for the labor? What have they to promise for, to organize labor or semi-skilled labor? Then on top of that, the rural population, unparalleled progress we have brought in the rural population, culminating in my reforms of 5th of January, in which I had another land ceiling brought down from 36,000 units to 8,000 units, exempting the small landowners who constitute about 90% of the population from income tax and from all such taxes, tube wells and other subsidies. All that in the 5 years has been done systematically. So you can count it. The female votes, thanks to their own statements and their own attitude, which came almost in bulk. Then on top of that, the organized labor, semi-skilled workers, then the whole rural population. These were massive votes of the Pakistan People's Party. If we had done rigging in cities like Lahore and Lailpur and Multan and Sahiwal, which are very conscious cities, and our people are very excitable people. You've seen them in processions and things like that. People would have been on the streets. In Lahore and other places, they would have left the polling station. And why 8 seats in Lahore? I knew we would get 8 seats in Lahore. I told my friends that you take it from me, we'll get all the 8 seats of Lahore. Why? Suppose we had been, are we so stupid that we'd have rigged all the 8 seats of the most sensitive city of Pakistan? Regarded to be the hub of the country in terms of its political attitudes and setting the pace and the direction of the politics of Pakistan, that we'd have gone blindly to this. After all, at least credit us with some finesse and with some sophistication. Why then 8 seats? I don't know. If they had taken 20, 15, 25, so I would have been happier for it. But it was a genuine landslide. I repeat, genuine. And there are very good reasons for it. Now what? Am I to establish that fair elections only mean that we should have been defeated at the polls to show that they are fair elections? But these are things which can be justified. Now, in contrast, in the frontier, there have been places where we've lost by 200 votes, 300 votes. If it came to rigging, we would do easily those 200 votes or 100 votes or 200 votes. In Multan, the Speaker of the National Assembly has lost by 100 or 200 votes, I don't know, maybe 1,000 votes, but a very small margin. Naturally, I would then have been interested in the Speaker of the National Assembly of Pakistan, who has been Speaker for the last 5 years, an important member of my party. We lost another seat in Multan. Then, secondly, all the opposition leaders of any importance have been elected from two constituencies. Begum Naseem Wali Khan, she has been elected from two constituencies. Mufti Mahmood, he has been elected from two constituencies. Askar Khan has been elected from two constituencies. Nasrullah has been elected. Noorani has been elected. So those who were known, really known, well, on the basis of personality or something, people might have gone or have gone for them. But the question is that they're unknown people who spoke a lot of tommy rot during the elections, who had no message to give, who had no program to give, except invectives and abuses, then people are not going to just say that, all right, we are going to go for invective and abuse rather than for exemption of land taxation on land, abolition of Sardari, giving them all the facilities that we have given. So I can tell you, believe me, you can put to me any question about the polls. I would never have held elections in Pakistan if I wanted them to be unfair elections. The whole object of holding elections in Pakistan, for me, has been a matter of conviction. And secondly, the point is that in such a situation in which we find ourselves in Pakistan, people cannot take an ambivalent position. They are wholly committed, or they are not wholly committed. It can't be a neck-to-neck thing, as some of you wrote in your dispatches. It's going to be a neck-to-neck thing. It's not the Republican and the Democratic parties, which have nuances of differences which only you Americans can understand, the fundamentals of the differences. This is not that. This is a great difference between the two outlooks. There's a very vast difference between the two outlooks of this conglomeration of nine parties. Then, after all, the country has been dismembered. Insecurity is a very big factor in the minds of the people, especially in the minds of the Punjab. They felt that their security has been safeguarded in the last 5 years by the People's Party. They have seen how the country has been divided. They have seen three wars. These factors also came into play. Their sense of security, their sense of strength and belief, their sense of fulfillment of promises, of achievements. All these factors came into play. How can it be a 50-50 thing or half a thing if we were just shades of differences? If we were speaking the same language, that we were using less abuse and they were using more abuse, then you could say, well, the question is, it's a narrow neck-to-neck thing. I never accepted that concept, that it's going to be a neck-to-neck thing. People would have been either fully committed for us, that yes, they want us, or they would have been fully committed on the other side, that no, that we want the kind of dispensation that they had asked for. Now, according to our expectations, if you see the results of the four provinces, as far as Sindh is concerned, more or less according to my expectations, as I think, I don't know whether I told you or not, may not have when you met me, but it was generally on these lines. And that we have lost seven, we have only got two seats out of 11 in Karachi. If we were playing tricks, we could have easily got two or three more seats, at least two more seats. But when we lose massively, then that factor is not taken into account. And there should be some method in our madness. We have lost both seats in Hyderabad. Well, all right. If we could have played with fire in Lahore, we could have at least played with a little bit of the ballots in Hyderabad or in Karachi also. Because Karachi is a far-flung place. And in some places, it would have been. No, but you have seen the results of Karachi. That there have been two for PPP and nine for the opposition. And the malpractices that they've indulged in Karachi, if you have the time, you can ask Mr. Pirzada what they have not spared in Karachi, in as far as these elections are concerned. As a matter of fact, they have indulged in malpractices. They have indulged in irregular voting. Then, therefore, Sindh on the whole has come according to expectations. Frontier also on the whole has come according to expectations. The point is that in the frontier, these seats which have gone to the PNA, in that only three seats have gone to the NDP or NAP. Maybe the fourth one, I don't know, the results I haven't seen yet. But nine have gone to the bearded ones. So the question is that it's not that NAP has swept the polls in the frontier. They've got only three to four seats. Nine have gone to the others. But on the whole, it has gone according to expectation. In Balochistan, they claimed that they did not want to contest the election. Balochistan has gone according to expectation. Now, where has the expectation been belied? In the Punjab? As far as I'm concerned, I gave in writing to my colleagues, and they've got it with them long ago, that we will take 80% in Punjab. I had said to my people, they know it. These ministers are sitting here. They are men of honor. They know it. I had said, in writing I gave them, I take 80%. Why we got more than 80%? Their mistakes.